Good to be here again this evening, and again, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak to you a portion of God's Word. I decided this evening I'd talk on husbands and wives. Karen sort of snickered on the way over, and she said, yeah, you're going to preach that and then hightail it for Indiana. So that's true. In Ephesians 5, and verses 22 through 30, we find these things written by the Apostle Paul. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." Those of you that were at the wedding ceremony yesterday afternoon, we read a number of things in similar regard. And perhaps we can give this tape to Mark and Lana when they get back. I want to address first the men of the congregation, and I'll do the same with you ladies in a few moments. Often today, men and women both misunderstand authority in the home. Both men and women misunderstand it. And I suspect that all of us, at one time or another, and maybe tonight, have some miscomprehensions about it. Men have lost touch with what it means to lead. Let me repeat that, because that is the heart of the first half of this lesson. Men have lost touch with what it means to lead. Men, especially Christian men, do not lead their homes in too many cases. Sometimes they give orders, but they don't lead. And there is a difference. Women have been trained in our society to rebel against authority, and it is being handed down to our children. Marriages are failing in this country at a rapid rate, and a large part of it is because of the constant conflict that goes on between husband and wife in marriage because of this misunderstanding of roles and authority. More seriously yet, children are being lost eternally because they do not see authority in the home properly conveyed, nor subjection to it, and therefore they see no pattern for the authority of God and the role that they have as being in subjection to God Almighty. If one cannot see authority in the home with someone who is tangible, with whom you can put your arms around and address as Father here upon this earth, then I submit to you that it is extremely difficult to submit to the authority of one whom you cannot see. It is my particular view, and you don't have to agree with it, and the value of this lesson is not contingent on believing this. It's my view that homosexuality often can be traced to the popular obliteration of sexual roles in the family. To not understanding what it means to be a man or not understand what it means to be a woman, of trying to combine it and make a unisex society. Again, you don't have to accept that. Neither husbands nor wives often can comprehend the church's relationship to Christ because they do not understand their own relationship to one another, and they go hand in hand. The Bible is full of patterns. I figured a second book I can write someday, Patterns from Life to the Church. Without the pattern working in our physical lives where we can see it in tangible form, it is awfully difficult to have it working spiritually in our lives, in our relationship as a body of Christ, to Christ as the head. There is a unity of pattern in the physical and the spiritual, And to understand the spiritual, usually, we must comprehend the physical to begin with. And I submit to you this evening, men, that all too often we have abdicated our roles as leaders in the church. And the reason why there are usually in a congregation two-thirds women and one-third men is because too often men have taught their children in a very indirect way that service to God is woman's work. Women have led in the teaching in the home, have led in spiritual matters in the home for so long that many young children growing up, especially male children, have viewed Christianity as something that women do. The husband is the head of the house or the home. This is a divine pattern that's laid down in the Bible. If you would please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11, and we want to look at the third verse. There Paul said, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." I want you to notice the descending order of authority. In Ephesians 5:23 that we just read a few moments ago made the same point. What is it that constitutes headship? What is it that a man is to do in the home that is involved in this headship? Some of us have viewed it as being simply the giving of orders for somebody else to do something. And that sometimes is a part of it. I don't want to subtract from that or leave anybody thinking that isn't a part of it from time to time. But there's a lot more to it. It involves leadership. One of the things that I learned quickly when I went from being a reporter to a managing editor was that you can sit around and spout orders all day, but if you don't have any leadership about you, you're not going to lead. You're not going to convince people to follow you unless you're willing to go that direction yourself. You're going to have to show an ability and a desire to do the same sorts of things or comparable things to the things that you're asking to be done. It takes leadership. It takes ways of motivating people to do things. And that's no less so in the family than in the corporate world. The head, and that is how God has deemed to define man's role in the family, is a description of a part of the physical body. And anyone who looks at this physical body or their own in a mirror recognizes, and if you've taken any physiology or classes in school that have taught you anything at all about the Bible or ever been seated here before, you know that the head directs the body. Take the head off, and the body has no direction. My hands don't move, my mouth doesn't move, nothing moves unless the head tells it to. And that's what God has ordained man to be in the family, is the head of that family, to direct it, to lead it, to give it guidance. And that doesn't mean that, again, that he has to be some sort of tyrant. But nevertheless, there must be leadership. And sometimes we have confused giving orders with leadership with precarious results. The Bible suggests that the husband's role in the family is one of rulership. If you would please turn with me to 1 Timothy 3 in verses 4 and 5. 1 Timothy 3 verses 4 and 5. Speaking of the elders in this case, or the qualifications, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Now, I recognize that what is being talked about here is specifically the qualifications for an elder. But I submit to you that that is a qualification for every man who would be a husband and do what he's supposed to do in his family, to rule his own house. Now, that word doesn't go across real well sometimes with people. And I'm not, again, suggesting that rulership has to be something that is mean and demanding and intolerant and terrible in some fashion, but a man's role is rulership and leadership, and if we understand those roles and carry them out properly, we will be meeting God's desires and we will be raising families that are much more enjoyable to be a part of. Now, inevitably, when you get into a study of this, if we were giving you the opportunity to respond, someone will say, Are you suggesting that a man should be a dictator in his home? I'm going to cop out and say what I did this morning. Yes and no. Depends on which definition of dictator you look at. There's two definitions. The first one is a ruler with absolute authority. No, the husband is not a dictator in that sense. He does not have absolute authority. 1 Corinthians 11:3 limits man's authority. Acts 5 and verse 29 points out that in many cases, a woman or even children should obey God rather than men if that would be in violation of God's law. The second definition of dictator is a person whose word must be obeyed. And if that's your definition of dictator, the answer is yes. The husband is a dictator in his home. He is to be obeyed. Titus 2 and verse 5 says that wives are to be obedient to their own husbands. The husband is also described in the Bible as a lord. Nobody likes that. That's what it says. 1 Peter 3 and verse 6, Sarah called Abraham Lord and obeyed him. And the word Lord simply means one having power or authority, and a husband in his home, according to God's ordinance, does have authority and is the recipient of certain power. If you look up the word husband itself and the origin in the Greek, it literally means the band of the house. And the best way that I can think to picture that in your mind is if you've ever had one of these old nail kegs or maybe a ice cream freezer that's made out of wood and it has a band around it that holds those pieces of wood together and makes the wood bucket or the wood barrel. The husband is to be the band of the house, that which holds it all together. Again, I submit to you, men, that we haven't done a very good job as a whole and as a group in the last several years of being the type of men that the gospel talks about. What is it that is involved in leadership? If I'm critiquing leadership, I suppose we need to define what it is. Is it issuing orders, receiving deference and respect? Yes, that's a part of it, but that certainly is not all of it. It is more. More is involved if it is done well and as God commands. The elements of leadership, the key one that I want to talk to you about, is action. It's not armchair leadership, it's action leadership, getting out and really leading. Some of you that have been in the military know that there's one kind of leadership that takes place from the back and is done on maps. There's another kind of leadership that a sergeant or a captain carries out when he leads his men into combat. He's not the one at the tail end of the charge. He's the one at the front of the charge. And I submit to you, men, that the leadership in the home involves being at the head of the charge, at the head of the action, and not simply in the back, giving map direction. The husband is to be a provider of physical necessities, according to 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. He is to be a provider of spiritual needs, of nourishment, nurture, of the admonition of the Lord. That is not the woman's primary role, to be the teacher in the home. But if we could have an honest poll, we would find that women more often than not fulfill this role in the home when it is not their appointed role and it is ours. Men have abdicated that leadership in the home. I've got here in capital letters, note, making money is not providing. Making money is not providing. That might be a little part of it, but that is not the whole. And it is not even a large fraction of what the Bible talks about, men having a responsibility to provide. A man in the home is to be a teacher. One with authority must teach, guide, and direct others. And I submit that the burden to study God's word and to understand it accurately is all the more heavy upon the man in the family. And I'm not suggesting that women don't need to study, but I am suggesting to you, men, that the burden, the responsibility, the accountability falls upon you and I greater than upon any female in our home. We have to be in a position to be able to understand as much as we can understand, because it is our job to teach in the home. To fail or to delegate entirely is to abdicate your position, and I suspect to abdicate your home in heaven in the day of judgment. The husband is to be the principal disciplinarian in the family. He is given the responsibility by God of training up his children. Ephesians 6 and verse 4 tells him not to provoke them to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I don't know what your case has been, but we had better be the principal disciplinarians in our families. We need to be the ones who train the children, develop the self-control of the whole family, teach everyone in the family to be self-controlled. And again, it comes to leadership, being able to do that yourself. There's an awful lot of teaching that men need to do in the home whereby they do not need to speak a word, simply to live the pattern that will be copied by their wives and by their children. Husbands are to be involved in the correction and punishment of their children. A husband establishes the guidelines and sees that all of it is carried out personally and through his wife. And again, failure is an abdication of role. And as we studied in Hebrews 12, the 12th chapter this morning, one who abdicates that role is just as though there is no father there, that the children have no father who puts a claim on them. And if we leave all that responsibility to our wives, men, that is what we've done. We have, in a very direct way, a very clear way to our children, said, "We don't care about you." Children pick up on that faster than any adult ever thought of picking it up. The husband is to be, in his leadership, the protector of the family. The very concept of a father is a nourisher, an upholder, a protector. That's what the word pater means. That is the idea conveyed to us of what God in heaven is like. And I submit to you that as fathers, we look to God as our role model for what we are to be. The husband is to deal with the wife as the weaker vessel, according to 1 Timothy 3 and verse 7. And I don't know that I'm prepared to enunciate the entire meaning of what is conveyed in that, because I'm not sure I know. But I think he is to act protectively toward her. I think that is conveyed. There is a deeper understanding of real leadership to be found in the example of Jesus. If I have difficulty understanding what this leadership is all about, and I suspect we need to learn a lot more about it, then we need to look at the example of Jesus. God has given men headship and leadership without regard to their skills. And I know that is intensely discomforting to women sometimes. God has just unilaterally said that men are to be the leaders in the home, and it doesn't matter whether the guy has 10 cents worth of sense about knowing how to do it. It's what God has said. And every now and then I scratch my head at his decision too. But that's what he said, and I believe that he has a reason for it. However, the Bible gives us much instruction in the development of this leadership. And a man who knows nothing about it tonight can begin by tomorrow to understand what leadership is all about. And any of you that have been catapulted from jobs where you were working for someone else to where you're being a leader, you understand that the first few days it's awful shaky. You have to learn how to be a leader. You are not inbred with leadership. And if that's true in the military, if that's true in the workaday world, in the corporate world, then why shouldn't it be true in the family? We have to learn leadership. And Jesus is the husband's role model, as we found in our text in Hebrews 5. We need to lead as Jesus led. We need to care so much for the family that we lay down our lives for the family. If we live Ephesians 5, men, we can develop leadership if we have absolutely none tonight. Leadership requires protection physically and spiritually, as verse 23 in Ephesians 5 illustrates, in the very idea of a Savior. Jesus is a Savior. Now, I'm not trying to put us on a parallel to that, but there is a level at which we need to parallel that, And we need to understand, men, that in our families, we need to take the role in a limited sense of Savior as well, trying to do that which leads to the salvation of our family. That is our responsibility. We must take the leadership for that. And rulership is to begin with love, according to the verse 25 of Ephesians 5, with love. Now, I'm not talking about love that, oh, I just feel good about them all, and I think they're great. Got into a little bit of a study of the kinds of love that are talked about in marriage, and I found out that when a husband is told to love his wife, and when a wife is told to love her husband, there are two different words for love that are used, and they mean two different things. The husband's love is a more active type of love than the wife's love toward her husband. The word agape is used of the husband's love, and it means to have preference for the regard for the welfare of an individual. That is, we put the welfare of our families, of our wives, of our children, foremost. And it indicates an active type of behavior, not just a warm feeling, not just an emotion. But the wife's love is defined by the word philia in the Greek, and it means friendliness, a love founded on veneration and respect. It is the idea of an emotional kind of love. I submit to you, men, tonight, that we have a greater responsibility, a higher level of love, which is commanded of us than is commanded of women toward their husbands. One of the things that, if you've never been in a leadership role, that you find out so quickly it makes your head spin, is that with leadership comes responsibility and accountability. And if you've ever been catapulted from one area to another, you know that there are several nights when you wish you could go back to the old job. But somebody else have responsibility for this. There's a greater accountability, a greater responsibility that we have. The dominance that's been given to men is God-given, but it is magnified by self-sacrifice. Very few people in the family will rebel against the dominance or the leadership or the rulership of a husband who is self-sacrificing and puts his family, their welfare, first. That's what love is all about. The lordship of the home is most profoundly evident in the submission of a man's own desires to the needs of his family. You know, the Bible teaches submission on the part of all of us, not always the same kind of submission, but a husband's rulership in the home is most evident in his submission of his own wills and desires, his own cares for the needs of his family. This doesn't necessarily mean that he always needs to do what his wife wants him to do, but it does mean that he always does what he believes is in the best interest of his wife and his children. It does mean that. My last point is that a husband's responsibilities are unilateral. What I mean by that, and I want to drive this home, and I'm going to drive it home in the second part of this lesson, and I'm going to keep you a little bit longer tonight because you can't do much about it. I'm going back to Indiana. It's unilateral. Regardless of what your wife does, men, if she's the most obnoxious, non-God-fearing woman that ever lived, rebellious, ignorant, I'll stop there. You still have to do what God has told you to do. That's what I mean by unilateral. Headship is not shared. Duties may be partially delegated, but responsibility for leadership is the man's alone. I'm not teaching anything that's very popular tonight, but I believe that it is God's word. If I'm wrong, you give me book, chapter, and verse. I'm not going to listen to any opinion. You show me book, chapter, and verse where I'm wrong, and I'll drive 170 miles back over here and correct it. But leadership is not shared. The husband must lead, guide, love, regardless of whether his wife obeys, subjects herself, or loves in return. That is our responsibility. Leadership in the home is not easy in our unisex society. It is not easy in the society in which we live, but no leadership is ever easy. I have never seen a leadership role in any capacity that in the long run was easy. And if it's done right, it's even more difficult. Respect for the authority of God is directly related to the respect that a family, that a wife, that children have for the husband and the father's authority in the home. If that authority is absent in the home, I submit to you, as strongly as I know how, you will be challenged to get your children to submit to the authority of God Almighty. Now, I said I was going to talk to the women as well. I make the transition here. Women's role in marriage is the pattern for the church. Women's role in marriage is the pattern or the blueprint for the church. And if a woman's role in marriage is something to be stepped all over and to be put down and to be made fun of, then so is the church. Because the roles, the positions, are parallel. As man's role can be described in one word, leadership, so woman's role can be defined in one word, subjection. And again, that's not popular teaching today. That word presents difficulties in our society. And anytime things like that present difficulties in our society, it ultimately rears its head in the church and presents difficulties here. Me, subject to some man, brother, you better get yourself straight. Well, I'm trying. But that's what the Bible teaches. Roles are today being reversed, and it is not a fluke that the family in America is in crisis. I submit the two run parallel. More homes in America today are headed by women, officially, than by men. By and large, more homes in this nation are headed by women than are headed by men. Now, that is where there is no man in the home to be the head. And that doesn't even count the homes where there is a man and the woman is still the head. The United States government doesn't keep statistics on that. In the church, many women are rebelling against subjection to their husbands. In the church, and I'm not talking about denominations, I'm talking about the Church of Christ. Thus, this lesson is important. Subjection, the very concept of subjection, is a pattern for life. It is a pattern for the church. If men and women do not understand what subjection is all about, then we cannot operate as the body of Christ. If an understanding of how we subject ourselves, and particularly woman's role in marriage, is not understood by both men and women, then we cannot understand our individual roles in this congregation as the bride of Christ. Man's role as head teaches spiritual authority in the family. Woman's role as the subject of authority teaches a lesson for the whole church and the family in particular. As I've already argued, the battle of faith is to be won through the family. And if we do not see the roles of leadership and subjection worked out as they're supposed to be worked out, now I'm not talking about the twisted, crazy, wild shenanigans that are sometimes called leadership and subjection in our society, but if we don't work it out in the family, in the physical sense, as God would have it, how in the world are we going to teach our children how God wants us to be in subjection to Him? How we're to be in subjection to the will of Christ if we cannot see a physical pattern? Over and over and over again throughout the Bible, the spiritual things that we need to understand to get to heaven are taught to us through the physical. It is impossible, brethren and sisters, to understand spiritual things short of understanding them through physical patterns. We live in physical bodies. We live in a physical society. We live in a physical world. And the only way that we can comprehend the spiritual is by making a comparison to the patterns that Jesus, that God, has set forth in the physical world. So many of the problems that we're having in the church today come right back to these issues of authority and of being in subjection to authority. And woman's role in marriage is the pattern for that. The family is God's unit. The church is the family enlarged. We are the children of God, the sons of God. We are the family of God. And heaven one day will be host to a great family reunion. What is so lacking in the church, and maybe I ought to bounce back and talk to the men for a few moments, or I need to talk to men and women about this, is appreciation for woman's role in marriage. Appreciation for the role of subjection is lacking in both men and women in the church. We look down upon the role. And when we look down on the role, I submit to you, we look down on the church, which Jesus died in bloody sacrifice to establish. You look down on a woman's role in marriage, and you look down on the church, and you look down on what Christ died to accomplish. And if we're going to bring marriage and the family back to where it needs to be, we're going to have an appreciation and honor for woman's role in marriage. Men need to do that. And I believe, since I was talking about leadership a few moments ago, that men need to start the appreciation campaign. Then you ladies need to appreciate what your role is too. Because too many women today are trying to be men. Not physically, but in role. Now, I am glad to see that a number of women are beginning to find out that being man and woman together is just too much for one person. Sometimes I think being a man is too much responsibility, and I'm sure my wife thinks that being a woman is just about all she can handle, but you try to be both of them, and you're going to get stressed, as they say. Let me give you an idea to ponder for a little bit. Women, there is power in subjection. There is power in subjection. Now, I'm not talking about the man having the power in this particular case, but I'm suggesting to you that you have a great deal of power when you are in subjection as you ought to be. And Jesus illustrates this most uniquely. If you would please turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, and we want to look at the third chapter and verses 1 through 6. There he says, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation or the behavior of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement." You know, being in subjection can be a powerful tool. A man who does not want to live godly initially, but he has a wife who is in subjection in all things where he does not ask her to do anything to violate God's will. No matter what he heaps on her, no matter how much verbal abuse or whatever, she simply quietly takes it patiently and does what's right unilaterally, no matter what he does. It's pretty hard for a man to continue to be that obnoxious when his wife is doing what she ought to do. Now, I suppose there's probably some men in this world that would show me an error in that. But most of the time, when we're in subjection and do only the best for other people, it heaps coals of fire upon their head, as the Bible says. There's only so many times that you can throw evil toward a Christian and the Christian return good to you, and you be able to hold your head up and continue to hurl evil at someone. It makes you keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller in your own estimation. Subjection has power. There's messages for us men as well in that, because women are not the only ones that are in subjection. We are in subjection to the Word of God. We are in subjection to one another as we look to the welfare and the well-being of every child of God around us and every non-Christian in this world. We need to look forward to caring for them and doing what's best for them. Subjection is not uniquely for women. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, where we started, that is illustrated to us. In Ephesians 5 and verse 21, says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. If everyone in this congregation will put his own will, his own desires, his own sense of being important in subjection, and looks only to the welfare of every other member in this congregation, this church will flourish like you have never seen a church flourish before. In subjection, there is power. And Jesus illustrated that better than any person that ever lived in this world. How did the one who is now ruling in heaven gain the power that he has tonight? By subjecting his will to the will of God, by subjecting his desires to the needs of every man and woman that has ever lived in this universe. That is how he was elevated to the right hand of God. There is power in subjection. Ephesians 5 and verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. In chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And in Ephesians 6 and verse 5, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. That just about covers the spectrum. We all face the need to be in subjection. And woman and her role in the family is the pattern for all of that. Unity and subjection fit hand in glove. And if there is disunity in a congregation, you can be assured that the members are not being in subjection to the needs of one another as they ought to be. Woman's subjection is singular in marriage, however. The man is not in subjection to the woman, according to God's ordinance. Not in the sense of one being the leader and the other being in subjection. As we've already noted, there are ways in which a man does need to subject his will to the welfare of his family. But in terms of authority, woman's subjection is singular. Man is the sole leader and the head in marriage. Woman is to respect, revere, fear, obey, be in subjection, whatever word you best find to describe it. The family relationship is the schoolmaster for the divine relationship. And there is no way that we can understand our role in the spiritual realm until we understand our respective roles in the family and honor those roles. What is the nature of woman's subjection? You know, the scriptures mean what they say, and I don't believe they're that difficult to understand. I'll agree they're sometimes difficult to accept, but not difficult to understand. There is no equivocation allowable. Head, rule, authority are understandable concepts. Subjection is clear also. Vine describes subjection this way. As primarily a military term, to obey, to be under the authority of another. You know, there is popular in the church today what I call mental gymnastics about all of this. And I've heard it right here at Knollwood. Well, the man may be the head, but the woman sure is the neck, ha ha ha. Well, I've laughed at that too, but I want you to think about something. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Now you take the same pattern. You say, yeah, Jesus is the head, but the church, we are the neck. Ha, ha. Well, doesn't get quite so funny then. The two run parallel. And I submit to you again that if our children hear us saying, the man is the head, but the woman is the neck. Ha, ha, ha. That when we teach them that Jesus Christ is the head with all authority and to guide our lives from here to heaven, that our children will say, ha, 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 and we'll cry as we watch them head into eternity. What is the extent of this subjection? Ephesians 5 and verse 22 says that it is as unto the Lord. And that suggests to me that the Lord has all authority, and that in the home, so long as it does not violate God's law, a husband has all authority in the home. It says in Ephesians 5 and verse 23 that the wife is to be in subjection to her husband as the church is to Christ. Ephesians 5 and verse 24 says that she's to be in subjection in everything. And that covers the bases. Hard to get it any more clear than that. You know, I mentioned to the men a while ago that their responsibilities are unilateral, to pick up a political term. Ladies, that's true for you as well. Your responsibilities are unilateral. And I have sat right in Bible classes in this church building and heard us say from our pews, some of the ladies of this congregation say from the pews, well, I would do what I'm supposed to do if my husband did what he was supposed to do. That isn't right. How do you expect him to ever do what's right when you won't do what's right? The same thing holds true for men if they're in that position. We have a responsibility. We stand accountable for ourselves in the day of judgment, not for our spouses, not for our children. We have to fulfill our responsibilities, and we'll be amazed if we do what we're supposed to do. It's surprising how quickly our children and our spouses begin to do what they're supposed to do. But we can play this game till the day they lay us in the grave. I'll do what I'm supposed to do when he does what he's supposed to do. I want to come back to the divine pattern again. What would have happened to the souls of everyone in this auditorium if the God of heaven, if the Son of God sat in heaven and he said, well, I'll go down and do what I need to do when